going to start there and work our way in several places in 2 Corinthians. In the book of 2 Corinthians, the theme of the book is Christian ministry. And ministry, I wrote down a definition back here on another message, that ministry is the agency, aid, and apparatus of God for the gospel of Jesus Christ, both in evangelism and edification. It's something that you do for the Lord. And a church is a ministry. The people in the church are all ministers of the Lord. The key chapters to 2 Corinthians is chapters 8 and 9, which deals with faith, promise, missions. And I would gladly like to go over both chapters tonight with you, but we ain't got 3 weeks in the next 30 minutes, so I'm going to put that off to another time. No, preacher, come on, preach. That's what you want to say. Yeah, there we go. Get us out by 12, preacher, like you do on Sunday. I don't hear it tonight. Huh? Key verse. The key verse to the 2 Corinthians is chapter 5, verse 17, where it says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." And as we look through this book, the author is the Holy Spirit of God by inspiration through the Apostle Paul in chapter 1, verse 1, I believe is where it says that at, and it's written somewhere around A.D. 57. It deals with Paul and his commission in chapters 1 through 5, where he basically has to defend himself against these people at Corinth who are attacking him, saying that he wasn't called. It deals with his converts in chapters 6 through 9, then his critics in chapters 10 through 13. And we're going to deal with some of his critics for just a minute here in a second. If you'll look in chapter 11, down at verse 13, starting there, these are his critics, and I want to point out how this relates to us today. "For such are false apostles." The big movement right now is people are saying that the apostolic gifts never stopped. They have two problems they have to deal with when they make that lie. And I said that right, they make that lie. They weren't around from A.D. 95 till 1906 in Los Angeles, California. They were not around for that period of time. The reason being, that which is perfect came. We talked about that last week in 1 Corinthians 13. So that which is done in part was done away with. And now all of a sudden they're claiming all these gifts are back, but they all have one thing in common. You ready for this? They all have a show to do healing, but they never go out to the hospital and do any. I go out to the hospital and pray for somebody and pray God heals them. Listen. If you ever down and out and you're in the hospital about to die, I'm not going to ask God if it's His will to get you out of there. I'm going to ask God to get you out of there. I'm not going to command Him, but I'm going to ask Him to bring you out of there. I think that's fair. Now, I want you to return the favor. If I'm dying, don't be talking about if it's God's will, please bring her. No, you get there and say, "Lord, I know it's Your will to get him out of here." Okay? So we want to make sure that we ask God believing for things, not if, Lord. Okay? So we look at that. And we see, he said, "For such are false apostles." It says they're deceitful workers, transforming themselves into, there it is again, the apostles of Christ. They're not the apostles of Christ. They've never raised nobody from the dead. They've never done any of that. And he says, "No marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers," it says, "also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. I say again, let no man think me a fool. If otherwise, yet as a fool, receive me, that I may boast myself a little. That which I speak it not after the Lord, but as it were foolishly, in this confidence of boasting, seeing that many glory after the flesh, I will glory also. For ye suffer fools gladly." That's why we still let them live in a free country. Right there. "Seeing ye yourselves are wise. For ye suffer if a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take of you, if a man exalt himself." Underline this last phrase. "If a man smite you on the face." Brother Brandon, come up here. Put your badge and gun up. Let me come here and talk to you a minute. "If a man smite you on the face." Did y'all just read that? What was the word I kept saying earlier in verse 13? What was that word?
False.
Have you ever related that to what I just did?
Yeah.
It's been in the Bible the whole time. I want you to think that too. Thank you. That's why I told him, could put that badge up. I'm going to have some business with him. But y'all see what I just did to him? I smote him on the face, just like that said. I don't have no apostolic gifts like they claim. I'll admit this. I'm the very least of the preachers around here. But I do know this. When I see that right there in context with that up there, them false apostles will smite somebody on the face, now I know where they get it from. They can't help but do it. You know who told them to do it 2,000 years before they ever did it? God just did. You're talking about the Bible being up to date with tomorrow's newspaper. I mean, that right there just jumps off the page, don't it? Look over at chapter 2, verse 11. Chapter 2, verse 11. Chapter 2, verse 11. And this is why that crowd is so taken and why people can be taken so easily by that crowd. Lest Satan, it says, chapter 2, verse 11, lest Satan, it says, should get take advantage of us, for we're not ignorant of his what? So Satan has devices that he's going to come after you with. And if you know what they are, you get where I'm going with this? Here's the funny part. I've got messages I used to preach. Look at chapter 4, verse 4. Where when we look at this stuff, it gets crazy because what people do is they take, you know, they'll take that word, his devices, and they'll make up about 5 to 7 things and preach on them. Can I tell you a secret tonight? If I go to the doctor and I have a headache, and he says, take this for the headache. Well, I take that for the headache, and now I got a headache and my eyes are watering. And I go back to him, I say, well, I got my eyes watering. Now I got a headache. I take this for my headache, and my eyes are watering too. And he says, here, take this for your eyes watering. Well, guess what? I looked on the pills for the headache, and what it said, may cause your eyes to water. So we're not treating the problem, we're treating symptoms. And the problem never goes away. There are churches right now that would take and have preachers in there that would say, here's Satan's devices, and they'd, like I said, 5 to 7 things, whatever they may be. I got a couple outlines. You can have them and burn them if you'd like. I hope I never run into them again. But they're not the devices. There's only 3. They've been here so long that we forgot about them. The Bible describes them in Galatians chapter 4, verse 3 and verse 9 as the elements of the world. And those elements are the first rules of an art or science. If we go back and see the elements of this world, if we go back to Colossians chapter 2, verse 8 and see the rudiments of the world, and the rudiments is the first principle or element in something like that, and the elements are what make up these rudiments and make up all this other stuff and tell us how to do it, we would go back to Genesis chapter 3 and find out there's only 3 things. Verse 6, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. Eve fell right there. Adam willingly went with her. So the first Adam failed. The second Adam comes along, according to 1 Corinthians 15, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what he did? He was tempted like as you are, yet without sin. Yep. By the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. All of those are listed in Matthew chapter 4, then repeated again in Luke chapter 4, how he overcome the devil, and he overcome those particular 3 things. Now, that's amazing, right? Let's deal with them things. I was sitting back here in the back listening, and I thought, I heard Brother Kerr say, we're going to have our prayer meeting, and we're going to have an alliterated prayer team come up here. We got Brad, Brandon, and Ben come, and I thought, and I ain't got an alliterated outline, might save my life. That's why I told you the book outline, because it was alliteration. But we're going to deal with the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. So here they are. Number 1, lust of the flesh. That's the first device of the devil right there. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, if you'll notice this verse here, it says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. When you deal with lost people, and they deal with the lust of the flesh, what they forget is this. There is a real devil that's out to steal, kill, and destroy you. He don't care if you're saved or lost. If you're saved, he can't have your soul, but he'll take everything else you've got. He's that horrible. I've heard people say that the devil tempted them, they fell into sin, this, this, and this happened. And listen, I understand. I totally understand, because there's one part of us that's not saved yet, and that's that flesh that we're currently clothed in. It's still as lost as the day you got saved. Now, your soul's saved, your spirit's born again, that flesh is lost, that's where the devil tempts you the most, and the lust of the flesh comes in because people are in bondage to that flesh. You can't get away from it till you die. And listen, the motto that they bring along to the flesh that really gets it, and I hate to even say this in mixed company, but what they say is this: sex sells. All the entertainers, listen, the men wear them shirts open, the women wear them low-cut dresses. They say, man, ooh, look at that. Ain't that pretty? Ain't that pretty? Sex sells. Sex sells. Hey, listen. Hey, they tried to sell that stuff. They said, listen, we're going to get in this sodomite business, so we're going to try to do that too. What they forgot was only 3% of the population is, so when they tried that, it didn't work. That didn't sell. You know what Budweiser did? They went back to putting girls on the ad and took that boy off her. They said, man, our company's going bankrupt. They forgot about that little principle. Listen, they turned against the devil that they was fighting for. How about that? It's crazy, ain't it? I keep watching people over and over saying, oh, that don't bother me none. Yeah, it does. It bothers you somehow. Or they wouldn't pour billions of dollars into it. An ad for the Super Bowl to get you to look at it's astronomical in price for just a second per ad on those ads. But what they'll say is, and they say that lifestyle is like that, that the sex sells and all that, they'll make this statement that say your lifestyle doesn't matter. If you want to shack up, shack up. If you want to go across the boundary lines, go across the boundary lines. You just do whatever you want to. And the famous saying by the lost of the getting caught by the lust of the flesh is these words right here: "You do you. You do you." That's dangerous, because you will mislead you quicker than the devil will mislead you. You mislead you thinking God's telling you this stuff. It's that bad. It's that deceptive. And exalting tolerance above truth is how they'll do the thing when they promote the lust of the flesh. They'll say, well, listen, the sodomite crowd will come on and say, y'all are not tolerant of us. How was it y'all acted when Trump got elected in 2016 again? Remember when Twitter was, they'd blow up on everything, they'd do all this other stuff. Come to find out there's a million little fake accounts out there doing that stuff too. Yeah. Probably 10 people controlling them. They all work for the government. Hello, Joe.
Hey.
By the way, God's got to sign off before they can come get us, so that's okay.
That's right.
Until God says it's okay, I ain't worried about it. And God says, come go arrest all of them, I'll be okay with it.
Amen.
The guy we're reading behind here was in prison for the most part of his ministry there.
Yeah.
And you know what? He never got out. He had to go up. He couldn't get out. I keep looking at this stuff objectively, thinking y'all are saying tolerance, but you preach tolerance, but you're practicing intolerance. The only way to counter that is with something called the truth, and the truth is the Word of God. You got to have truth over tolerance. It don't matter if you'll put up with it. The matter of fact goes like this: is it true? Is that what God said do? I know years ago, Brother Charles over on 221 changed the name of his church. It used to be Metropolitan Baptist Tabernacle or something like that, because they started naming all these sodomite churches Metropolitan Church. He said, I don't want to be identified with that crowd.
Amen.
He called it Bible Belt Baptist Church. What a let one bad crowd to another one, right? Amen, kid. Listen. As long as he's awake and paying attention, right? Listen, these people come along, they stress the positive to the neglect of the negative, or they'll stress the negative to the neglect of the positive, and we've got to get a balance in there where we do actually say we will tolerate certain things, but only where it goes with the truth, and we'll let the truth determine what we tolerate, but we got to have the positive with the negative, because if we don't have both, we're going to be in a mess that way too. I've watched people for years try to say that, well, I just want to be a positive person. And that's a good quality to have, is being positive. But if you're not negative, you're not a powerful person. And being positive all the time will not help you. It will not help anybody around you. If you're a parent and you're positive all the time, you'll become an enabler. If you're negative all the time, nobody will want to be around you. You got to have both. I'm glad to know this, that there's still people out there that'll say, yeah, let's be positive where the Bible's positive, be negative where it's negative, and let's have the power of God on our lives. Let's walk with the Lord, and let's have victory over Satan's device of the lust of the flesh, because you will never get over it through Alcoholics Anonymous, Narcotics Anonymous, and all these programs and all this other stuff. Listen, I'm glad to know some people get help from that. I really appreciate that. But I know this, 98% of the people walking in places go back to the same thing they come from. You know why? They don't have no power. They're taught a false set of principles that don't work. There's going to be one or two that'll work for it. I'm glad for that. But at the same time, that lust of the flesh will override all that stuff and go right back to the sewage it come from if you're not careful. I noticed that there's also he says about these things, you know, we talk about, like, if you look over in 1 John chapter 2, I'll show you this, shows up again in the New Testament over here, 1 John chapter 2, down at verse 16. Just to let you know that this stuff is still here, we said Jesus overcome it. And in 1 John chapter 2, down at verse 16, you'll see it repeated again here in the New Testament. After the Lord Jesus Christ has the victory over everything, he tells you again about the Satan's devices over here. Verse 16 in 1 John chapter 2, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And who's the god of this world, according to the 2 Corinthians? Well, Satan's the god of this world. He's blinded the minds of them which believe not. We just read the verse over there. And if he's the god of this world, his devices are, number one, the lust of the flesh. Number two, the lust of the eyes. People are so in bondage with this lust of the eyes thing because advertising makes or breaks a product. And the motto they hand out with the advertising is, what you see is what you get. I asked Lisa the other night, I said, when's the last time we ate at McDonald's? She said, it's been 2 years or better. I don't know why we quit eating there, but we did. I just happened to think we was passing one. I remember now why. I remember. They said, you got to wear one of them face diapers. You come in here. So I ain't wearing one. I ain't doing it. By the way, all the emails have been leaked out. Fauci knew the whole time that was created in the Wuhan lab and the mask didn't work. Every nurse in town told me that was a lie, that them things did not work. Everyone. I went to a doctor. He said, you ain't got to wear it in here. I said, you're hired. I don't care if he is a veterinarian. He treats me just fine. Listen to me. I'm sick to death of people trying to control the population with the same way China controls theirs. And these liberals get up talking about, we just love the pattern in China and China, China, China. Do y'all know how they treat you women over in China? Have y'all ever watched Mulan? No change in the last 10,000 years over there with them people. I like when little Lispy guy says, you can't speak in a man's presence. I thought, boy, they still the same way over there too. And these liberal feminists talking about, we just love China. No, you don't. You want their power over the people, but you're not willing to give up what they do over there, I bet. I mean, listen, we over here talking about vice presidents, first woman, all this. They ain't got that over there. They ain't got that in the council. They ain't got that in the presidency. They won't allow it over there. You liberals keep on. Can I get a witness in here on that?
You're right.
They talking about you women's oppressed in America. Go over there and live for about a week and tell me how oppressed that is. Here's what the lust of the eyes will do for you. The lust of the eyes will literally put happiness over holiness just because of the way something looks. I realized years ago that if you deal with certain words in English, you may not always have the same root word and everything that lies with that, but with happiness you do. It's based off of a root word called happening. You can look around and find a good happening and get a lot of good happiness from it, or you can go into depression off some bad happenings. But if you look at the thing, the lust of the eyes will tell you what, if it looks good, do it, and it won't work. The crazy thing about the lust of the eyes is that I've known people over the years, and this is going to sound bad, but they'll come up and they'll tell me, I am in love.
Uh-oh.
They'll say it just like that. I'm in love. I say, I hope you ain't the only one. I mean, you know. And I said, you don't understand. This one fella came to me about 10 years ago. He said, I have found the most beautiful woman on planet Earth. I said, what you looking at my wife for? I knew we'd wake her up. He said, yeah, he said, I found the most beautiful woman on the face of the earth. We're going to get married. I saw him the other day. When I first saw him riding around, she was in the pickup truck with him like his.
Okay?
The other day, he was riding way over here, and she riding way over here, and you could put four guys in between them.
Uh-oh.
Same truck. I said, what happened to y'all? You don't know how she is. I said, you're right. I wouldn't put up with it a second. That's why I married my wife. I wouldn't put up with that. I don't care what she looks like, how much money she has, or how much money, whatever. Listen, those looks will fade away. You better marry for who they are, not what they look like. Because you know, listen to this. I'm going to give you some good advice, and you heed this well. Look at your mother-in-law, men, before you marry her, because that's what you're going to get. If she looks like a sack of doorknobs tied with a string of ugly around it, that's you, baby. And ladies, that beard-bellied, pot-bellied, bald-headed idiot that's following that crazy woman, that old woman around, that's what you marrying down the road. That's what he going to be. Don't say a word. Don't you say a word neither. And listen, if you going to marry them for who they are, not what they look like. Okay? Because there's also this possibility, if they look that good, everybody else going to be looking too. And they may entertain offers after a while too. You got to be careful about that, because everybody be making all these big offers. But listen to this. They major on this world instead of the next with the lust of the eyes. Just like every time I turn on the TV now, I'm getting commercials about buying gold.
Yep.
I'd rather buy food than gold. You know why? I can't eat gold.
That's right.
I have no investment money that's like, you know, here I got an extra $10,000, let's invest in some gold. I don't have that. But that's what they're trying to sell me on TV. Wrong audience. Maybe I'm watching the wrong channel or something. I'm thinking either that or they're trying to con me. I don't know which one. So I finally got me a commercial going the other day, and I watched this, and I did stop watching everybody. This is an infomercial. Buy silver. It's more important than gold. And I thought, never heard that before, but I want to hear what they got to say. Boy, at the end of the day, if I just send them $39.95 a month and $10 here and $10 there, I'd get all silver. I'd be a millionaire in 10 years. Just on silver. In fact, they brought up the Bible and said it's predicted gold's going to fall. I don't know where that was at. The Bible, they never did say, but I thought, man, that's interesting. They done brought God, the Bible, and all this, and going to make me a millionaire. And then it dawned on me, they really want to con me if they go in all that route, ain't they?
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, this is just getting deeper and deeper and deeper. Before long, I have my credit card out, my phone doing this, you know, thinking, I got to get that, you know. But it looked good. It looked good. I seen the vacation spot come up on Facebook the other day. Y'all ever talk about going on something and Facebook starts showing you ads for it? I say stuff sometimes just to get a reaction. So I started talking about multi-million dollar vacation. Hold on. Let me do it again. Multi-million dollar vacation homes. I wanted to start showing me some ads in a couple of days. I saw one the other day. Listen to this. Two bowling lanes inside the house. For a vacation home now. I can rent it for the low, low price of $2,600 a night. And it ain't just the bowling. That's right. Jenna would love it. Yeah. There was one catch, though. For $2,600 a night, when I throw that ball down there, not only will I throw my shoulder out, but nobody's going to set up the pins. They don't just pop back up there. I didn't like that. If I'm paying that much tonight, they better jump back up there, and they better fall down when the ball goes down there, too. I couldn't believe it. I could not believe that for that amount of money, the pins don't reset themselves. And I kept thinking, and I finally figured it out. It wasn't $2,600 a night for me. It was $2,600 a night for us. Me and 14 of my best friends could split that price. We'd all have our own bathroom, all have our own shower, a hot tub in each bedroom, the whole nine yards. And I'm thinking, that sure does look good, don't it? Then I read at the very bottom of the thing, do not feed the bears. And I thought, that ruined the whole thing. Do you know what kind of bears is out there at night? I'm not going to find out. You have to tell me. But I thought for that much amount of night, they should be in a gated community. Don't you think? I'm a big old gate where they can't get through that thing. I'm thinking, I can't believe they do that. But it's the lust of the eyes. They're trying to get your attention. All this stuff. You want this. By the way, I never mentioned bowling, but I guess it hurt us at the bowling alley. You ever wonder why you get those things? They figured it out too. They want you to come on and major on the things of this world instead of the things of the next and get involved with the wrong outfit because it looks good. What always looks good may not be good. There was a guy here a while back. He had a house for sale. And we were looking at houses, and I went out there and looked at it. It only had a crack this big at the top of the outside wall. Now, when you went down the wall, the thing got this big all the way down. But they had it filled in with something, so it's okay. He said, you probably won't have to worry about that. I said, you're right, I probably won't have to worry about that. You know what? I didn't worry about it. And I still ain't worried about it. I may not know about everything about this, but I can tell when a house is falling and it's, you know, the front part of it ain't falling with it. I know what that is. Great neighborhood. Only one catch. I don't think Ben could sheetrock that up and make that look good. It's bad. But it looked good. It looked good. I called Brother Steve Phillips the other day. Y'all know he's working up in Kentucky. I said, I know you like these old cars. So I called him. The first picture I saw was a beautiful 1960-something Thunderbird. I sent it to him. He called me back and said, you look the rest in pictures? I said, no, why? He said, go look at them. I didn't see the rusted motor with the hood up on it. I didn't see the rusted out trunk area. But boy, it sure looked good on the outside. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes. Listen to this one. The last one in that list is the pride of life. And listen, when we see this, people are such bondage in the pride of life, it will keep them from doing the right thing every time. The endorsements that of products is the key to the pride of life, because if a celebrity uses it or does it, then you want one too. Get this. If a celebrity does it, if they use that product, then it must be cool. It must work if they use one. But there is a little catch. They pay the celebrity to say they use it. They may not use one. I remember years ago, all these guitar players, they all had their own endorsements of these amps. They carried them out here at the music store. One of them was an amp, and I forget the name of it. It's no longer around. They claimed these big stars used them guitar amps. I had a friend of mine thought they did. He went and bought one. That thing sounded like when you plugged your guitar into it, it sounded like a shoebox had rocks rattling in it. It was awful. He said, yeah, but such and such uses that. No, he don't. Here, years later, as we've all grown up and grown older and wiser, we went back and we've got this magical box called YouTube we look into every once in a while. And they showed them guys that used those amps making their albums back then. You'll never guess what amps they didn't use when they were making the thing. Yeah, them were just sitting out front. They didn't have speakers in them. Their amp was behind them with a mic stuck up to about this big. And they got them great big ones out front. Not even a speaker in the cabinets. The celebrities use it. It's cool. Wonder how many people have went out and bought a Walter PPK because James Bond shoots one of them. Clint Eastwood. Did I fire 5 shots or 6? You know, wonder how many of them guns got sold just off that movie. Well, did I? Punk. I mean, you know, that's just cool. He uses one. Clint Eastwood's never shot nobody. It was a movie. It wasn't real. There was no bullets in the gun. Yeah, but Clint's got one. You know, that type of thing. And what people don't seem to understand that the pride of life and having a celebrity endorsement does not mean it's that that's what they do and that's what works. The motto they use with this line of thinking is if it feels good, do it. You know what'll happen to you? You follow that? You'll wind yourself shipwrecked on God, wondering what happened to you and how you got there. You said, but it felt right. Listen, I'm sure that a man that has 10 children and he's rich and is doing well in life and got friends and got a wife and got everything money could ask for is doing well. I'm sure he is. I'm sure it feels good. And I'm sure he can be right with God doing it. But when God tells the devil, I believe you can touch him and he won't turn on me. And Job loses all 10 children and loses all the possessions he's got. And the only thing he's got left is old Hun saying, won't you curse God and got die? I believe we find out then what he's really made of. And no, he didn't turn on God. But the thing is, do you want to be that guy? People want to be blessed. I want to be blessed. But do you want to lose all of them in one day so God can prove to the devil that you belong to him? I've noticed that the pride of life will do this type of thing and make size more important than sort in your life. Get this. I watched a video the other day of two heretics talking. One runs 10,000, one runs 1,000. Guess who wants to be like who? The 1,000 guy wants to be like 10,000 guy. To them, we're nothing. But can I tell you something? Everybody here believes the Bible. 98% of the people in this building tithe. 98%. Ain't no other church in Cherokee County can say that. You do that because you want to. I don't holler about it all the time. But I know this. There's been times when I didn't feel like I had the right message to preach, and I come in here and preach it anyway, and I don't feel anything, and I'm standing at the back, and somebody comes up and said, that was the message for me. You could have dismissed the whole crowd. And I'm thinking, well, next time just come in and let me know what you're doing. We'll dismiss everybody. They can go on and I'll just talk to you. That'll be fair enough, won't it? That's fair enough. And then there's times I come in thinking, I got the message. It's the most wonderful thing. And by the time the final amen said, everybody stampedes towards that door and I'm left in here by myself. I'm thinking, but I had the message. I felt like I did. Now I just take whatever God gives me and preaches it, and you have to deal with it. I ain't going to wait on you to stampede or stay. Either you like it or you don't like it. Maybe you had something to do that day. You had to get out of here. Maybe you had a prescription ready. The crock pot was on fire at your house, and you saw it on your ring cam. I don't know. But I do know this much. Either whether I felt good or not is either right or wrong. I've just learned over the years, just preach whatever God gives you, let the Lord deal with it, and sort is always better than size. Y'all know who the biggest man I ever saw in my life was? Andre the Giant. I saw him in the 70s when he could walk around and wrestle and do all that stuff. He'd take two guys in the corner, grab that corner and go, boom, and it looked like he squished them two guys in there. I always thought, wrestling's fake and all, but boy, that looked real. A 500-pound man squashing you against a steel pole, yeah, that can't feel good. I don't want to be either guy behind him. I seen him step on a guy and walk over him. I thought, I definitely don't want to be that guy. I know things have tricked everything, but I don't want to be that trick. But you know what he told referee Tim White? We used to drive him around because he couldn't drive a car. He said, just for one day, I want to be you. One day. One day. Just one day, I want to be you. Size, he'd rather have sort. Isn't that something? Everywhere he went, everybody adored him, loved him. He even tried to be the bad guy and they still loved him. Crazy, ain't it? He said, just one day, Tim, I want to be you. Just one day. I can't imagine what it feels like to get on an airplane and have to buy 3 tickets and you be the guy that sits in all 3 seats. Can you imagine that? You think it's bad over here? He goes over to Japan. They treat him like a god over there. Everywhere he goes. One day, Tim, I just want to be you for 24 hours.
and not be me. You gotta understand, this guy, the last time he was 6 foot tall, he's in the second grade. Can you imagine that? I just want to be tall like Ben. You know that? Just one day. Just one day. And I know Ben wants to be my height. I know it. One day. But I'm telling you, they emphasize more of the sort, more of the size than the sort, and they emphasize more of the heart than the head. You got to have both. You got to have both. You got to come to the Bible, and you got to believe God for what He says, and you got to get your head on the thing and make sure it's right, what it says is right, and you got to have your heart there that you're going to believe God no matter whether it upsets you or not. I've heard people say, well, I pray till I get peace on it. I don't. I'm going to tell you why. I prayed till I got peace on it and it'd be the wrong decision. I've prayed before. Listen, my wife can tell you, I think I've told this here before, when we were buying a house, I had a nervous breakdown about around, was it November? Just complete collapse. And the whole time, everything didn't feel right. Then I got that call in that February morning, woke me up out of bed, and someone was going, rah, rah, rah! And I was like, what in the world? I said, calm down, who is this? She said, they approved your loan. Well, no wonder she's excited. I was excited. I started screaming then. She said, calm down. I said, no. You don't know what I got to get here. I said, when can I move in? She said, well, we got to sign the papers. I said, well, that's fine. That never felt good the whole time. It feels good now. It didn't feel good then, though. It didn't feel good in November. It didn't feel good in December. It didn't feel good in January. It didn't feel good when we had to keep filling out paper after paper after paper. Every day they wanted something different. Next day they didn't want that, what I just sent them. That didn't feel good. But what felt good when they said, here, sign right here, move in your house. Here's the keys. See, when you emphasize the heart more than the head, that's Disney World and it don't work. Listen to this. If you ever hear somebody say, always let your conscience be your guide, do not do that. Let the Scriptures through the Holy Spirit of God be your guide. Because your conscience, I know y'all may not realize this, but this Bible says your conscience can be seared and be past feeling and you not know what that even is, not even know you're there. And that happened and you get in a mess. And somebody's sitting there saying, you gotta follow your heart. You better follow that head too, because both of them's gotta work together. God put them in the same body for a reason. By the way, you can't survive without both of them. Your body will drop if one quits. And I see a lot of people that take on the pride of life and they never realize that is the main problem they have, and they will not admit it because their pride will not let admit it, that pride is a problem. How do people respond to the lust of the flesh, lust of eyes, and pride of life temptations? It's real simple. They make themselves fig leaves and they hide from God. That's our first example when that happens. Do you know why God said, Adam, where art thou? He's God. He knew where He's at. Same reason He called out to you that day. He knew where you was at. He just wanted you to admit where you was at. When God deals with His people, if they get away from Him, He calls out to them. He wants them to say where they're at so they'll know it and they'll admit it to themselves. Then they can admit it to Him and get all that cleared up. The thing about in this same book of 1 John where it says if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just forgives our sins and cleanses us from all righteousness. You ever notice that confession has to happen to God before any of the forgiveness shows up? You have to admit it to God or you'll never get forgiven of it. Amen. These people say, I pray every day and they stay in sin real bad. They don't confess their sins to God. So what if I confess it and I'm going to do it tomorrow? Well, confess it tomorrow too. Just keep doing it until you get it right. God will fix you up. But the way you deal with temptation, look over at Matthew chapter 4. With the lust of the flesh, lust of eyes, pride of life. Adam's not a very good example of that, is he? Because you know what he did? He knew what was going on and done it anyway. You know why he done that? The Bible says that he loved his bride. He's willing to die for her, and he did. In Matthew chapter 4, somebody else loved their bride. Their bride's you. And his bride, he's willing to die for her. But he got victory over these lust of flesh, lust eyes, pride of life, and here's how he done it. Chapter 4, verse 1 of the book of Matthew. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Look at there. He knew what was fixing to happen. He went anyway. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. Imagine that. 40 days, 40 nights, no food, no water, no nothing. Can you imagine what kind of mental state he was in by that point? Can you imagine what his lips looked like, his face? How his eyes must have sunk back in his head just a little bit. It said, and when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones be made bread. But he answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on the pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus saith unto him, it is written again. You see a pattern developing? Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then Jesus saith unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written. Do you see the pattern now? He relied solely on the scripture to defeat the devil. He could have spoke a word and the devil been dissolved. But he didn't. He kept speaking the word. Why would Jesus Christ rely on the very written scriptures and expect you to do anything but what he just did if he didn't just let that be written down and show you how to get victory over this? Verse 11, then the devil leaveth him. Why? He had been beaten by the word. The one thing that people cannot seem to understand, I stress this more and more every day, do not get away from your Bible. Do not get away from reading the Bible. Do not get away from studying the Bible. Do not get away from memorizing the Bible. Keep taking it in, because in verses you memorize, that thing you study, and maybe the very thing you fix and get hit with, and God doesn't give you an insight to be on that thing. Because it's coming. You know what the big thing is right now? Y'all reckon Joe Biden's Antichrist? No, the Antichrist is a genius. That's definitely not him. That's definitely not him. You reckon Putin is? What, are you a Democrat? No. He's the only guy in the world I know don't have a cell phone. Ain't that crazy? He don't do emails. He don't do cell phones. He stays locked up in his house all the time. Never goes out. Never gets on the internet. He's practically Amish. In a very cold Amish place. And then somebody said that they said, well, do you reckon that Chinese guy, that the president of China is? No. Do I think Antichrist is? I think it's the devil, still. So, I mean, but which person is it here on the planet? Whichever one he takes over when the rapture happens, he'll take a body by then. He may not be in it right now, but he will then. He may not even be allowed to be in it till then. I don't know. But I do know this. He's here right now. And this devil right here that's in Matthew chapter 4, he's got three devices. Don't treat the symptoms. Go after the lust of flesh, lust of eyes, pride of life. Fix those. Don't try to fix them symptoms. Amen. Are we independent Baptist, blessed God, country, rock, and all that stuff? The devil. I'm sure it is, but don't figure out which one of the three categories it falls into and treat that, and don't treat the other problem. That crowd down there cusses, that's of the devil. I'm sure it is, but you better figure out which one of them three devices he's hitting you with it from, because if you're not, you'll keep doing it. Even after you take the prescription that Dr. Widebottom gives you. I'm telling you, you gotta know what the devices are. You know what amazes me about people? They'll talk about anything but the truth nowadays. But when you bring up something like this, well, I know what them devices are. Like I said, 5 to 7 points of an outline. I said, that's what? No, that ain't it. It's God's 3 points over in Genesis chapter 3. It's Jesus, what he overcome, Matthew 4 and Luke 4. And then John repeated them in 1 John 2:16, just so you'd know. That's the devices. That's what he's going to hit you with. They might be 10 things under each one of them, but I'm telling you that you don't treat the problem, you're going to still have the problem. How many of y'all tonight have some kind of disease that you can't get rid of? Oh, yeah, that's some people in this room. I'm one of them. You ever wonder why I can't get rid of it? You ever wonder why? It's right there in 2 Corinthians, chapter 12, verse 9. Look over 2 Corinthians 12. We'll close with this. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. He said the prayer in verse 7, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me. In my Greek text, I read in the original. You know what that word is? Diabetes. Where's it at? It's not in a book. It's in my flesh. Holy cow. I'll never get rid of this thing, will I? I'd eat right for a year, and all of a sudden my sugar's 265, and I've done everything right. Must have a thorn in the flesh. Look at this. He gave me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of... There he is again. To buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Now here's the thing. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. Here's a guy that raised people from the dead. Couldn't get rid of the problem he had in his own flesh. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. You and me both, we may have a thorn in the flesh we'll never get rid of, but we can beat the lust of the flesh, lust of eyes, and the pride of life. Are you with me?
Amen.
Just so you'll know, this is Victory Baptist Church. Victory Baptist Church, not defeated Baptist Church. I want you to walk out of here smiling tonight, because you know why? You got victory. And the victory is in Jesus Christ,
right,
who gives us the victory. Let's stand with every head bowed and every eye closed.